Hey, greetings everybody. It's Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you're doing well today. Hey, I want to talk to you about a very important topic, and I think it will be relevant to you and your faith life. Imputed righteousness explained. Imputed righteousness explained. Yeah, I couldn't believe that I don't have a teaching on this already. I have articles that loosely cover it, but I wanted to do a teaching audio to cover and talk about imputed righteousness. Yeah, sadly, a lot of people talk about this, but most all of them have it very, very wrong. We're going to cover that. Both the Old Testament, the New Testament speaks on imputed righteousness or imputed sin. We'll talk about that. First off, I want to be clear, and I want to state, if you're new to my teaching or the website, I absolutely do teach that we do need the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, and that we cannot earn it, we cannot work our way to heaven, we cannot get it on our own, and it comes eternal life, and that perfect righteousness we need, it comes via the biblical gospel. We'll cover that as well. A famous verse everybody knows, Ephesians 2, 7, 8, and 9. That in the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, everybody quotes that. We're speaking about the evangelicals mostly, many false groups, but most of them are guilty of this. And they like to quote that verse and they say, see, you're saved, you're not saved by works, and you're saved by faith through grace. And a lot of them throw in the faith alone, but there is no such Bible verse that says you're saved by faith alone. And works do not save you, but works are part of a saving faith. We're going to cover that. The Bible teaches that. So the real issue of this imputed righteousness is not, do we need it? Of course we need it. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We have imperfect records, and we need his perfect record. But the bigger question for this audio is, how do we get it? And do we have to have or do anything else as a result and as fruit that we have it in our life? Think about that. We definitely need it. But then, is there something else in our life that we must do? That's the fruit that Christ is in us. That's what we're going to talk about. So, as I said, the evangelical places and all the other false man-made denominations, they've corrupted this idea of imputed righteousness for salvation. Here's how they've corrupted it. They've told people that Jesus died and lived a perfect life and died, and he transfers all of his righteousness. He imputes all of his righteousness to you. And because of that, it doesn't matter really how you live or if you obey God completely or if you endure to the end. Because see, Jesus did it all and you can't do nothing. Well, Jesus did do the Father's will and work perfectly, but we are called to do much. We're in a covenant. A covenant is an agreement of two parties. Christ did his part perfectly. We have a part to do, and we must carry it out. So they lie, and they tell you that he died, and he covers you carte blanche, and it doesn't matter how you live or what you do. That's absolutely a lie. It's a corrupt gospel, and I hope to explain it here in this audio teaching. These people, many of them make it either so complicated or too simple. And what I mean by that is saying they'll make it so complicated as they try to explain this long, drawn-out imputation theology. Calvin and Luther wrote books and books on it. And then you get other people just say, oh, you ain't gonna do nothing. Just believe Jesus did everything. So there's two extremes to this, but the truth is in the middle of the road. Both of those are in heresy. And so we're going to try to decipher all that. Now, a common lie, you'll hear this, is, well, God only sees Jesus' righteousness when he sees you. He doesn't see all the sin you're doing. But again, that's a lie, because the Bible teaches that if you live in unrepented, willful sin, That's not the fruit that you're of that vine. Christ is the vine. We are his branches. See how that works? We'll talk about that in a bit. Now, to try and make this as easy and understandable for everyone, saints and seekers, man has a sin debt problem. We've all sinned, right? Fallen short of the glory of God. We can't pay it, right? Jesus comes and lives a perfect life and dies, and he has more than enough perfect righteousness to cover our sin debt before the Father if we are in and of him. That is critical. It doesn't happen automatic just by believing. We must be in and of him. We're going to read some verses about that. We have to be in him in spirit and truth. And then how people live who are really of him and in him, that's really the big factor. What's the fruit that God's at work in you, that you're a child of God, that you're born again, that you're holy according to the gospel? Do you live in sin, compromised worldliness, false man-made religion? Or do you live in holiness and obedience, clinging to the truth and the scriptures? Yeah, you can answer that one yourself. What's the fruit that you're born of a holy God, holiness or worldliness and sin? So here's a verse that really surmises the imputed righteousness of Christ, even though it doesn't use the word imputed. 2 Corinthians 5:20-21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus came and lowered himself, lived a perfect life, became sin for us that we could be made the righteousness of God. Now, that verse does not say the word imputed, but it's a great example, as I said. And because of Christ, his people, his holy, set apart, born again saints by the gospel, get his perfect righteousness imputed to their record. We'll talk about what imputed means. Who are his people? Well, we're going to get to that too, and the meaning of imputed as we go. The fact is, little hint, the people that are his holy, blood-bought, born-again saints, striving in sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul says sound doctrine saves you. Those are the people that are going to get his perfect righteousness, not willful, ongoing, worldly, carnal, false religious sinners. That makes a mockery of God. We're going to cover that too. All right. So we get his righteousness via the gospel. I cover this all the time. Faith in Christ's perfect work, death, burial, resurrection, repenting from all sin and false ways, turning from your sin, your worldliness, your false religion, your flesh, the culture, all of that. New life, born again. He gives it to us when he sees that he has willing vessels that will obey. We're going to talk about that too. Holiness and obedience is the fruit that you're a vine of his branch, and then you endure in it all to the end. All right? That's the people that are going to get his perfect righteousness. Not just believers. Satan believes and trembles. The demons believe and tremble. They're not going to get it. People that live in false ways. The Bible says you must worship God in spirit and truth. You can't worship him any way you want. You're not worshiping God if you worship in lies and sin and error. So we're going to see from Scripture about this perfect righteousness, and it is available, and it is free, and we can't earn it. Let's get this clear. But it does come with a required action from us as fruit. Jesus said you must bear much fruit. We're going to read about that. In order for us to have that perfect righteousness put on our record, us abiding in him for our salvation. You know, I'm always amazed at what people believe that Jesus never taught. Jesus never taught that he did it all for us. Nope. And he never taught that we have nothing to do. Nope. He never taught that we could stay living in sin. Nope. Jesus said in Luke 13, strive to enter through the straight way. Jesus said, be ye perfect in Matthew 5:48. And Jesus said in several places in the book of John, go, sin no more to people. Huh, interesting. He definitely made the perfect way for us, the only way there is, and we can't make it for ourselves, but we must follow him as fruit in obedience, holiness, and righteousness, or we will be cast off. He's the gate. I like to picture it this way. He's the gate, and he gives us the key to walk through the gate, but we must take the key, put it in, walk through, strive on the narrow path. Without him giving us the key, we could never get on the path. That's the perfect righteousness. Now, the fruit that you're of him is you're walking on that narrow path to, in the end, gain eternal life because of his perfect righteousness. It's all over the Bible, faith and works. Yeah, we're going to read about that too. All right, John 15, 4 through 7. Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." That's holiness and obedience, folks. "For without me you could do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, he's withered, and men gather them up and cast them in the fire, and they're burned." Yeah, that's hell, judgment. 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you," that means obeying the Bible, the written word of God, the word made flesh was Jesus, "ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you." Yeah, again, he made the way with his perfect righteousness, his perfect life, but we can't just go and live any way we want and live how we please and find churches that we like and pagan holidays we like and worldly adventures that we like, hobbies and entertainment. No, we must lose our life, Matthew 10, and follow in holiness and obedience as fruit were of the vine. Yeah, that's how we get his perfect righteousness. We're going to get to the imputed righteousness. I'm building a case here. The Bible says, without holiness, that means set apart for God, no one sees God. Hebrews 12, 14. And by the way, I need to throw this in here. I have articles on this at the teaching blog. Many people all throughout the Bible were righteous in how they lived, in right ways, seeking God. But the perfect righteousness is found in Christ alone. I'm speaking to the saints here, his holy set apart ecclesia, his saints. We get it via him, and then we live for him in righteous ways as fruit that we know him. This is faith and works. I said it again. It's at play, and scripture clearly shows it. Now, many people, I'm aiming this at them, they just live worldly, false religion, carnal ways. And they use the heresy, oh, I get so tired of hearing this, that all your righteousness is like filthy rags, so don't even try. That's an absolute satanic lie. Go look up my article on filthy rags, don'tperish.com, go to the teaching blog, look up filthy rags article. That term was meant for the hypocritical Israelites that were doing idolatry and doing worship of God. And he said, because of your hypocrisy, all your righteousness is as filthy rags. Yeah, the truth is, God in fact requires and expects his holy people, called by his name, to live righteous. And that's part of our faith and works that leads to eternal life. Jesus said in Matthew 25, 46, "And all these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life." Yeah, that parable, I just did that in my verse by verse, is talking about all the things the righteous people did. That's how he recognized they were his. They lived righteous. Yeah, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? And what you're going to see is, because of the perfect righteousness of Christ in us, working in us, his spirit, his word, his truth, we get new life, right? We just talked about the gospel. His grace gives us the ability. We have a desire to leave all sin and worldliness. We have the power to live and overcome and walk in holiness and righteousness. That's the fruit we're his redeemed people. People that sin on and tell you they're just big sinners and they can't stop their sin, they don't have sound doctrine, they don't hold to his ways, those aren't his people. Do not be deceived, folks. Those are not the people of God. Okay, finally, I set the table there. On to verses from the Old Testament about imputed. Leviticus 7:18. "And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offered it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. And Leviticus 17:4, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. Okay, so in those two places in the Old Testament where it's using the word imputed, that word in the Hebrew is koshab, and what it means is account, calculate, judge, and reckon. So in the context of both of those, it means that something is going to be reckoned or applied to your account or not be applied and reckoned to your account. So either for the good or the bad. Let me give you an example. If you sin and it's not atoned for, it's on your account to your bad. You're going to answer for that. If you do the right sacrifice that's appropriate to God, that righteousness of that sacrifice will be imputed, reckoned, put on your account. Both are imputed, one good, one bad. So you can have righteousness imputed to you. You can have your sin imputed to you. You see how that works? Remember that. That's important. And the Old Testament, if you've studied it much, was all about God showing archetypes of his redemption that was coming to save mankind in Christ ever since the fall. The idea of this imputed righteousness is all over the New Testament, but the call was always to get God's forgiveness, to be righteous before God. The call was always repent, leave willful sin, seek righteousness, and obey God. That's always the call in the Old Testament. It's not any different in the New Testament at all. Let's go to the New Testament word and talk about this impute word. Romans 4:11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteous of the faith, which hath yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So there we see that imputed righteousness because they believed, right? Romans 4:22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Romans 4:8. Blessed is a man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Impute sin. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. So these verses are using the same word, the Greek word, logizame. It means same as the Old Testament word, reconcile, account, inventory, calculate, compute. All right? In context of what those verses were saying, Paul is saying that the faith, and Paul is always via the gospel, the saving faith with fruit. This is faith and works, not faith alone, as these lying evangelicals will tell you. There is no one verse that says faith alone. We will get a pardon because of Jesus' righteousness imputed, added to our account. It's the only way we're going to gain eternal life, folks. It's our only hope. Christ's coming. That's why his death, burial, and resurrection is so important. We can't earn it, all right? We can't buy it. It is free, but it has a cost. We got to lose our life for it. And we must seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness as fruit that we know him. And if we're of him, the Bible's clear. Calls us to good works, Ephesians 2:10. Calls us to seek ye holiness, 1 Peter 1:15. Calls us to obedience, Hebrews 5:9. He made the way for those who will obey him. And it calls us to endurance, Matthew 24:13. He that endureth to the end will be saved. So there's so many verses that show this perfect Savior and his righteousness can be imputed to us by faith, but the faith is never alone. You know, a saving faith is never alone. It's always backed up by holiness, obedience, and seeking righteousness and his kingdom. I like this verse, Psalm 32:2. Blessed is a man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So see, there's that imputing. It can be to the good or to the bad. Christ imputes his righteousness to us. That's a good thing. If you sin on willfully, it's going to be imputed to your record, your account. You're going to have to answer for it. You can't pay for that. You're going to be judged and sent away into weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, so this part, this next part I want to cover here, this is pretty huge. There is no getting Jesus' work added to your account unless you have the fruit of being born of him via the gospel, which I covered, abiding in him with a righteous life lived as evidence. Did you catch that? It's kind of like if you get married, nobody's going to believe you love your husband or wife if you're not faithful and you don't show up and you're not there with them, you don't work with them, you don't live with them, you don't strive with them. Nobody believes that you love your spouse. Who's going to believe you if you love God and you don't keep his word, you don't keep his ways, you live in willful sin? You're not of this righteous king. Why will you get his righteousness? I don't think you're even his child. Why would you get an inheritance if you're not a child? Do you ever go up to somebody you don't even know and expect to get their inheritance and you're not a child of theirs? Who's a child of God? Holy, righteous people. Amen? Amen. So there's no righteousness imparted if we live in willful sin. Ready? Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said what? Jesus was our sacrifice for righteousness. This says, if you live in willful sin, that sin you know is sin and you keep doing it and you won't stop. Christmas, Easter, lies, fornication, pride, vanity, whatever. False gospels, partiality to people, loving the culture, loving the world. If we sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. So this is really, really key. You want the righteousness of Christ? Don't live on in sin. Repent, walk as a child of God, seek the new life if you don't have it, and Christ will give you that new life, and you can hope, have a great hope for the eternal life to come if you endure. Paul said this, Romans 6:16-18. Know ye not that whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Did you catch that? Sin ongoing leads to death, not the righteousness of Christ, but obedience unto righteousness. That's because God always calls his people to obey, and the ones that are his, they strive to obey. Oh, we won't be perfect. Nope. We will fall. We will have to repent. We will have to get up and keep going. But there's the key. You repent. You forsake that sin. You turn away from it. You don't live in it. Verse 18 says, or 17 says, but God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, that means instruction, which was delivered to you. Do you see the obedience here? Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness, faith and works. You're claiming to be a child of God by faith and want his righteousness? You better be servants of righteousness by obeying him. All right, let's move on. More verses. Romans 5:13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Okay, this word is elogio, and this means basically the same thing, to set one's account. So as I said before, either sin is going to be on your account, or righteousness of Jesus will be on your account, and which one depends on how you live your life, faith and works. The Bible teaches this all over. You reap what you sow, right? Amen. Another big point I want to make is this is the error that is often stated, that Jesus' blood, thus his righteousness, covers all your past, present, and future sins. Carte blanche, a blanket, it's all done. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. When Jesus said it is finished, he didn't mean he covered every one of your sins that you keep doing and won't repent of. No. It is finished means he did his Father's work. He fulfilled the law. He became the perfect Lamb of God. That's what it is finished means. You and I have a covenant to finish yet. We're not done. Oh, we are not done. No, he did not cover all your past, present, and future sins. Let me explain. Past sins, yeah, when you repent, they're all washed away. That agree. You're washed clean. John tells us that. We can be cleansed by the blood of Christ, right? Present sins. Yep, all your present sins can be washed away if you repent and forsake them. If we just read it, if you live in willful sin, you're drunk, you're a liar, you're an adulterer, you're a worldly person, you're into pride and vanity, and you live in that, you're not going to be pardoned from that. And your future sins can also be forgiven, but as you encounter them, if you fall into them, if you choose them, you can't live in them willfully. You can't just live in all these future sins and go, you know what? Because Jesus died and I get his perfect righteousness, I get to live any way I want and sin on. You know what? All these people that tell me, oh, it doesn't matter how much you sin because his perfect righteousness covers you. When I ask them questions like, so do unrepentant liars that claim to be Christians go to heaven? Or unrepentant drunks that claim to be Christians go to heaven? Or unrepentant homosexuals that claim to be Christians go to heaven? Or worldly people that claim to be Christians? Or false Christians doing false holidays? None of them will give an answer. You know why? Because their theology falls apart. They can't explain away the truth of God's word. No, your past, present, and future sins are eligible to be washed away if you forsake and repent of them and cling to Christ and seek his righteousness. We already read Hebrews 10:26, where it says no willful sin is covered. How about Acts 5? God killed Ananias and Sapphira over one sin. They were believers. And how about in the book of Acts when Simon tried to buy the gifts of the Holy Spirit? He's already a believer. Peter didn't say, don't worry about it, Simon. You're covered by the perfect righteousness of Jesus. Did he say that? No. Peter said, I hope you can repent that God gives you repentance from your wickedness. Because why? His soul was in danger because he was living in sin and he needed to repent. And Simon said, please pray that that doesn't happen to me. Amen. We cannot live in sin and expect the imputed perfect righteousness of Christ. I want you to ponder this, saints and seekers, if you're listening. You can't get Christ's perfect imputed righteousness if you are willfully adding more sin to your account daily, because it's going to be added by the same imputing process. Remember, Christ's righteousness gets imputed to you. Your ongoing willful sin gets imputed to your account. What's going to happen? That's like standing before a righteous judge in a courtroom and you're asking him for a lighter sentence and he knows all along you're committing a lot more crime. What's he going to do? He won't be mocked. He won't be mocked. He's not going to give you a lighter sentence. You haven't made yourself eligible for the grace of that righteous judge. And that's how righteousness with God works as well. Last verses on imputed, and this really seals it for us. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed for him, unto him, for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. All right, they like to read that and they stop right there. That word, again, it's that logizame. Yeah, so Abraham believed, and it was imputed to him, but he also obeyed. Oh, the evangelicals don't tell you that, do they? Nope. Look at what James says in the verses right around that verse. Ready? This seals the deal on imputed righteousness. James 2, 21, 22, 24 through 26. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect? See then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith alone. By the way, that's the only place the Bible ever says faith alone, is where it tells you you're not justified by faith alone, that your works are part of it, showing the fruit that you have, the righteousness of God upon you, the grace of God. Yeah. Isn't that interesting how they twist that? Satan does that, right? Twists God's word. Evangelicals do that. Faith alone in the Bible means you're not saved by faith alone. They say you're saved by faith alone as they live on in their sin. You see how Satan's workers work? Yeah, don't be deceived by them. Verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. You know, James, brother James, says it beautifully there, doesn't he? And he says what God's word says. God is ready to forgive and impute the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ on us for free. We can't earn it, but the only ones who are going to get it are those that are born again by his spirit through their will, the gospel. God sends a new spirit, and then they flee through repentance all their sin. They walk in holiness. They seek and desire perfection. They long for righteousness in their lives. They forsake all the sin and the world and false religion, strip their lives down, lose their life, seek Christ, seek the kingdom. That's the fruit that they are of him, and one day they're going to get his perfect righteousness. You want to cement this imputing a little bit more? Who does God give the Holy Spirit to? Acts 5:32. And we are as witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Who's going to get the perfect righteousness of Christ? Those who have been born again by God's Spirit, right? Who does God give the Spirit to? Those who obey him. And Jesus told us this little thing, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus said to seek righteousness. You must have his perfect righteousness. The fruit you have him via the gospel is you live your own righteous life. Remember that, saints and seekers. In the end, imputed righteousness of Christ, oh, it's real. It's a biblical concept. But it is not the twisted evangelical made-up blanket covering as you live on in sin. No. And you live any way you please? No. You live in false man-made religion that tickles your ears? No. It is reserved for the few, the chosen ecclesia called, who have come out of the world, out of their flesh, out of the false religious systems, out of the culture, to seek his kingdom in righteousness. We just read about that verse. And obey his word in holiness, fleeing all sin, forsaking it. This is fruit. They are connected to the vine, or to the to the vine, and we are the branches, proving you're a child of his via his glorious gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection. To them will be imputed the perfect righteousness of Christ, the few. Jesus said few. That word few in Matthew 7 means a puny number of people. For those evangelicals and all these false denominational worldly people looking to just slide under the gate, make it into heaven, as they live their own way, worldly, fleshly, carnal, entertainment-filled, politics, movies, sports, pride, vanity, false man-made denominational religion, they're going to be judged harshly as false converts or rebellious people. They're going to be found naked without any such covering or cloak for their sin. 1 Peter 2:15 and 16. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of the foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Yeah, don't believe the lies of the heretics like the evangelicals, the denominational places, and Martin Luther, who said sin on and sin boldly because of what Jesus did. That is absolutely satanic, damnable doctrine. No, seek the imputed perfect righteousness of Christ, and you only get it via the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection, through repentance and your new life that God gives you and creates you into a holy branch of God, bearing much fruit, striving for what? Righteousness in your own life, because you're a child of the Most High. And in that, one day you'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant, and then you will have his perfect covering. Oh, if you sin, if you choose it or fall into it, there's hope. Repent, get out of it, keep going, and he'll cleanse you. When you stay in your sin, when you stay in the world, when you stay in false religion, when you live in your flesh, Romans says you can't please God in the flesh. You must walk in the Spirit, and the Spirit and truth and the gospel will lead you to the perfect imputed righteousness of Christ. Hey, I'm going to leave it right there. I hope that edified you all. God's word is so awesome. Strive, saints, seekers, keep reading the Bible. Keep seeking the truth of God. Ask him for wisdom. Saints and seekers, let me know I can help you in the faith, the imputed righteousness of Christ. It's real, it's true, it's in the scriptures, but it is not the perverted, corrupt way of man who always tries to look to keep his sin and still try to gain eternal life. Impossible. You must flee, forsake, and repent. Christ is so worthy. I have one last question. If someone really understands what Jesus did for them, why would they not desire to flee and leave and fight and battle all sin and live in righteousness to glorify and honor him? I think that's a good question. I'm going to leave it right there. We love you all. Check out don'tperish.com. Let me know I can help you in the faith. Till next time, have a glorious day. We're down the gospel road preaching Christ crucified every day. God be praised.